Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Because yeah. It can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough. Hi, I'm Kendra.
This is Jade.
And you're listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. For those of you that are new to the show, we are a show for couples that are struggling with infertility or miscarriage, or maybe you're going through adoption and God is just building your family in a unique and different and beautiful way. Mm-hmm. We want to go with you on that journey and encourage you along.
Let us go with you. You need someone to go with you, please.
Hey, but, we love your prayer requests, by the way. Yeah. Jade and I have been praying for you. Hannah's Heart at AFA.net. We see you, we hear you, and we are praying for you.
You can go that way. Facebook, Instagram. Yep. Yeah, we reach out. All we do places. Read those. It's us.
Yes. Yeah. Well, today we have a repeat guest.
Girl, I'm still just trying. I'm processing when she was on with us last because it was ministering to my heart, and I'm sure many of our listeners as well. She's just keeping it 100 about suffering. It's something that we don't like to discuss. Suffering. Yes. We all want to be like, no, I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. But it's actually in the suffering where we grow closer to the Lord, and that's what I'm grasping from her story, our guest.
Yes. So if anyone missed it, it was Emily Brooks, and she shared about a childhood chronic illness that has gone throughout your entire life of suffering, and how the Lord led you to your husband, how He led you guys through the process of releasing that desire to have biological children, and how He was enough. You talked about so many important things. Go back and listen to the episode. Yeah. But we're going to continue the conversation because it didn't end there. So after you've laid things at the altar, I think a lot of us have these questions about, you know, what does it really practically look like to move from laying that desire on the altar into now an adoption story, because you felt called to do that. So we're talking about that today. Did you have a question?
I like how you said releasing your desires, because God can do a lot with an open hand than He can a closed fist. Yes. And because we do tend to, especially in the culture we live in, it's a microwave culture. Yes. We're used to getting our way. We want our way. Social media, everything's fast. But the Lord, He wants us to have an open hand. Yes, if we say, Lord, send me, I'll go and use me for Your glory, the Lord is like, okay, I'm gonna put you to the test. Yeah. And I kind of feel like He did that with you. And He does it with His children. He prunes those He loves. And that's what I'm hearing when I hear your story.
One thing I didn't get to hear from you last episode was, what was your husband's side of mourning all of this like? Ooh. And how did your all's relationship progress through
idea.
That?
You'll have to ask him.
Okay, all right. You heard that, Austin Brooks.
I actually didn't know until this last year when he shared his mourning process with me.
Really?
So during the time, he was very quiet about it. I just figured he was good, just
can
like
you share, or is it not your place? Could you share it? How did he feel? Or
I mean, he had to go, just like I did, he had to go through a time of mourning and mourning the ideas that he had of what it would be to, you know, have a wife who was pregnant and to bring a baby into the world. And so I think just like I did. And then he had a time where he released that and the Lord provided provided peace and just worked in his heart to say, hey, I've got this. And just continue following.
I do have this question. Now, this may sound fleshly, but I think this, because I've done this. Did you ever have like a fake resolution? And what I mean by that, where you told yourself, well, at least I won't have to get big. Or at least, you know, trying to make yourself feel like I'm not missing out on that experience. When in actuality, you're lying to yourself because you actually did long for that. Yeah. Did you ever go through that?
I don't think that I ever said, well, at least I don't need to feel this way. I cried over not getting to participate or experience pregnancy. The Lord just protected me so much. I was able to rejoice with my friends who were pregnant. I was a little more be like, oh, can I touch your belly? Like, what does that feel like? But the Lord,
Emily, you're a saint compared to me, girl.
Like,
you felt comfortable in those settings.
I did. Wow. I did. But again, that's amazing. I had, you know, up until that point, 20 years mm-hmm. of so much suffering mm-hmm. and so much growth
yes.
that had to come from that. And I've had to release so many things throughout my lifetime. I've been different mm-hmm. in so many areas. And so by the time that we made that choice, I knew who I was in Christ mm-hmm. and I knew who he was in me. And I was just satisfied in that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to negate the fact that it was hard mm-hmm. because it was. Yeah. And I laid on the floor. I took 3 days off of work and just cried out to the Lord. And mm-hmm. I felt the feelings and I felt the loss.
And you allowed yourself to feel
it. I did allow myself to just feel the sorrow and to let the Lord know how I feel. But as far as saying, oh, well, at least I don't have to gain an extra mm-hmm. such and such, I didn't experience
that. Well, one thing that I remember you sharing with me that helped as I was praying about the possibility of adoption was, you know, you said that even though there are certain moments that you miss out if you have a biological child, adoption is its own unique story. And for those Absolutely. That never adopt, we don't get to experience those crazy sure. gotcha moments yeah. or getting the call or the rush of emotions. Like, that is its own unifying experience for a couple. Mm. So let's talk about moving into adoption, yeah. what that looked like for your yeah. family.
Yeah, so it was 2012 is when we discovered that we would not be growing our family through natural birth. And so we took time. We didn't mm-hmm. do anything for a while. It was about 6 months to a year before mm-hmm. we started investigating what mm-hmm. adoption was like. We knew mm-hmm. nothing. And so we were that couple that would just kind of walk around and be like, hey, do you know anyone who's adopted?
Yeah.
And they go, oh, yeah, so-and-so. In fact, there was a couple in Memphis who we were connected with, and we got their mm-hmm. number, called them up, and we're like, you don't know us, but we have a lot of questions.
Yeah, I love
and
that.
Then they were like, hey, next week, come up and have dinner with Aww. Us, and we'll, you know, walk you through it. And so we just tried to ask as many questions, meet Good. As many people who had gone mm-hmm. through the process before us, and glean as much wisdom as we mm-hmm. could. What I will say now is that did not prepare us. You're only
even still,
you're only prepared for adoption once you start the journey.
Right.
And so in 2013, fall of 2013, we were approved through an agency to adopt. Mm-hmm. So we had gone through, you know, all the background checks and all the meetings mm-hmm. and reading all the books. There's, you know, a lot of pre-things mm-hmm. that you have yeah. to do until you're fully certified and have a book on the table mm-hmm. And your profile out there for mm-hmm. birth mothers to look at. And so we were certain that we would get a phone call.
Yeah,
quickly, you
well,
know,
because your book is like the perfect picture. yeah. Come on, you guys are gorgeous.
So we knew yeah. we're like, we're gonna yeah. have, all right, Lord, this mm-hmm. is the path you've led us on. We are qualified to adopt now. We mm-hmm. have a profile book. We're ready.
Mm-hmm.
And then silence
mm-hmm. for how long?
For 3 years.
Oh my goodness!
I didn't realize
Emily.
It was that
yes,
long.
It was
wow.
3 years to the month.
Wow,
3 years. And it got hard, right? So when you're finally certified to adopt, mm-hmm. every time my phone would ring, my heart would mm-hmm. leap out of my chest. Is this the phone call? Mm-hmm. Do we have a baby? And then, you know, mm-hmm. 3 months goes by, 6 months goes by, a year goes by.
That so, kind of angers, well, it does anger me. I'm like, Emily's probably like, it didn't mean. That's why I said, I'm a saint too, but you're a different saint.
Well,
terms
I haven't
of,
gotten like, that part of the story.
Like, that just angers me. So in your profile, I'm assuming you put in your chronic illnesses.
Yes.
Is that probably what could have been the?
Well, you don't know,
I
right?
Don't know.
What,
yeah,
the
I
things
never
that
know.
Make
no
biological
idea.
Moms pick, like it could yeah. be they liked that you had a dog in
right.
the photo.
Yep.
You know,
oh,
is this what every adoption though, where you have to have a profile and like people,
yes.
the birth mother chooses, like.
Yes.
That's just, okay.
It's hard.
Yes,
yeah.
It's hard. So we had waited 2 years hmm. with this original adoption agency, and then we were encouraged to maybe look at other agencies. Mm-hmm. And so we did, and we felt a peace about changing over to a different agency. And so we did that, hmm. and we are still waiting.
Hmm.
Austin and I went on our 7-year anniversary hmm. trip in October of 2016.
Hmm.
And as we went to the beach for a week, and as we were on that trip, by this point, I was so discouraged. So we've gone all this way and we've gotten no calls. There wasn't even like a maybe. It was nothing. Wow. Silence. And so while we were on this trip, Austin and I were having some very pointed discussions about we've walked in obedience. We know that the Lord called us to start the journey of adoption. Mm-hmm. We did that. Just because we did it doesn't mean...
You're not guaranteed a child.
It doesn't mean that that's what he had in store for us.
Wow.
It could have very well been that it was just something that we needed to do as part of our sanctification. And so...
that part right there.
And so we were seriously considering pulling our profile out of the adoption agency and just taking a break.
Mm.
And on that trip, we both came to the point where we were... okay, if it was just him and I for the rest of our lives.
Wow.
And we surrendered.
Oof, that's heavy.
We surrendered our, my desire from childhood to be a mom, his desire to be a dad. And we're like, you know what, Lord, if it's just us forever, that's okay. We're going to be okay with that. And so our plan was to get home from the beach. And that following week, which would have been the first week of November 2016, we were going to call the adoption agency and put our profile on hold and just kind of pray a little bit more and see what we needed to do. You want me to continue?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, girl.
So we get home on Friday, whatever date that is, and Monday, October 31st, 7 years ago today.
What? Today.
Today, we got the phone call. It was 6 o'clock at night that there was a little girl who needed a mommy and a daddy. And so we dropped everything. We had nothing.
Girl.
All right. Not only had we waited 3 years, but we didn't get anything because we just didn't want to set ourselves up for failure.
Right.
And so in that moment, we realize that the Lord has, we've chosen joy. The Lord has again put a pillar of faithfulness in our lives. And he said, hey, I'm still here and I've heard your prayers.
Come on.
And I have your daughter who I ordained for you before the world was created.
Yes.
And so we had one picture from the social worker.
Was she born at this point?
Or she was born. Okay. Her birthday is October 30th.
Okay. Which, by the way, we pre-record our show, so you guys will be hearing this in a couple weeks later, but it's October 31st.
Yes, today is the 31st. So she was born on the 30th, and her birth mother chose the adoption plan in the hospital, and our book was the first book that she looked at, and she chose us immediately, and the social worker said, well, let's look through some others and make sure, and she came back and she said, no, this is the family. And she had, like you were saying, she had specific reasons on why she had chosen us. And so anyway, so we get the phone call and we're overjoyed and we run out to Babies R Us, back when Babies R Us was still here.
I would say, yeah, they're nice.
And we got everything that we needed, which we look back on the picture and it was nothing. But
I mean, I just can't imagine. You went from just surrendering to it might be us forever to we have a child.
Yes.
In one phone call.
Yes.
Like that is a long... Like, when you have a biological child, you have 9 months of preparation. Like, you went, bam, zero to 100.
Yes. Well, and I'll tell you before that, and I forgot to say this, and I do want to, with both of our waiting journeys, the Lord gave me a verse. And so he had given me Isaiah 49, 15 through 16 for Lydia Grace, and it says, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you, engraved you on the palms of my hands. And I held on to that scripture all throughout those 3 years. So I knew that the Lord had not forgotten, not that he was going to give me those specific desires, but that my name was engraved on the palm of his hands and he had not forgotten me. So we have the fulfillment of that in Lydia Grace. We got to go to the hospital the next day.
Easy.
And she was 4 pounds, 15 ounces.
Teensy, teeny, tiny.
Big, the biggest eyes ever.
She
big blue eyes.
Beautiful, stunning eyes.
Oh, my
You
goodness.
Do, too. Like,
well, thank you.
She has beautiful eyes.
Yes. And
she's
so
gorgeous.
We got to the hospital and it hit. Right? And
so, you just broke down, didn't you?
Oh, my goodness. When we got there, the nurses had her. The birth mother had already left, and so the nurses had been taking care of her. And they placed this tiny little girl into my arms. And I lost it.
I bet.
I mean, how could you not?
Yeah.
This precious child.
Your baby.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it was at that moment where back in 2012, which I mentioned in the mm-hmm. last episode, where I had been praying that the Lord would show me what it was to choose mm-hmm. love. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to choose love. Mm. In that moment,
God loved her.
Yes, yes, she was my daughter, and Austin had the exact same experience. We did not have to choose to love this child. Mm. She was ours, and we knew that the Lord had created her for us.
Mm. Emily, you know, hearing your story, and one thing I've heard you say repeatedly mm-hmm. is how you reminded yourself of his faithfulness through the years. And what I'm grasping is that the Lord gave you and Austin endurance. And it makes me think of James chapter 1, verse 2. Mm-hmm. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Mm-hmm. And let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Like every time, just hearing your story, I'm like, she continued to surrender. It wasn't always easy. And I love that you're honest about that. Yeah. And that's always my encouragement to our listeners. Like, because I'm still in that journey. 6 years married, nothing has happened. But yet you have to continue to surrender because you know he's faithful. You've read the scriptures. Mm-hmm. You've seen his track record. He's a faithful God. And I always think about in Timothy where it says, when we are faithless, he is still faithful.
Right. And when you think nothing's happening, sometimes God, that's when he's moving the most behind the scenes.
In that quietness.
I remember you sharing with me that you were praying specific things for whatever child God would have for you before you even knew that she was being conceived,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, yeah. And one of the points where I was struggling the most in waiting for a baby, the Lord, I wasn't working at the time, and the Lord was like, start praying. And so every day I went on a walk starting in the spring of 2016. I would just go on a morning walk, and that was my prayer time, and I still do that. But I would pray specifically, no longer for what I wanted, but I was praying for the birth parents. I was praying for their salvation. I was praying for protection over the child in the womb, all of these different things. And I didn't know it at the time, but when I started that prayer walk, it would have been the same time that Lydia Grace was conceived. So I was walking and praying the whole time.
You were praying for her every day of
her life. Every day of her life that she was developing in her birth mom's
womb.
Gives
me goosebumps.
And we see his faithfulness and his answer to prayer in that. For example, the birth mom didn't know she was pregnant. And she was a college student. And you know what college students do? Well, she stopped drinking very early on. And that was something I prayed over, was protection from substances. And the Lord protected her from substances. And I prayed that the Lord would protect. I didn't know where our children were going to be. I was praying protection over their ears while they're in the womb. And that the Holy Spirit would, as he has showed in Scripture, the Holy Spirit revealed himself to infants in the womb.
Yes. Sure did.
So I prayed those things over our future children, that the Holy Spirit would reveal himself to our children in the womb, because I was not there to impart that on them, or my husband was not there to. And so we saw all of that come to fruition. And the verse that came to mind over and over again after both of our children was Ephesians 3:20-21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ through all generations forever and ever. Amen. And we see how he answered our prayers more than we could have ever asked or imagined. He did it to the extreme. We waited for it, and it was hard. But it wasn't just in him bringing us children. Mm-hmm. It was what he did in our lives, in our walk with the Lord, how he sanctified and refined us through the fire.
And what would you have missed out if you hadn't had that moment on the beach where you said, even if, Lord, even if you don't, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, even if you don't deliver me, we know you're able to, and you're enough. Right. Like, you now know that your children are not an idol in your life.
That's right. Oh, that part, Kendra.
We talked about that.
You know, another thing that crosses my mind, I was just thinking of just how... Help me, Holy Spirit. I hate when that happens. Even on live radio, you lose your train of thought.
It'll come back. It'll come back,
and then I'll say it.
I want to know real quick, Landon, because you had a second miracle. Any special stories about God bringing him into your life?
Yes. So Landon, we started the adoption process for him in 2019. Mm-hmm. And as with Lydia Grace, mm-hmm. the Lord made it very clear mm-hmm. that it was time to start again.
Okay.
And he gave the word to both myself and to Austin. Yeah. And we came together. And I think he was the one who said it first mm-hmm. And said, hey, what do you think? And I said, I'm ready. Yeah. So the Lord yeah. has given us both the green light to start. So we had to start over with the whole adoption process again with him. Or for him, and we waited about 9 months this time.
It's fast.
Which is very fast. Yeah. But his story comes back a lot to Lydia Grace mm-hmm. Because, you know, she was a little sponge and soaking everything up. And one of our wonderful God stories mm-hmm. is that on March 8th, which was mm-hmm. a Sunday of 2020, I was teaching her Sunday school. I was her Sunday school teacher at the time. And my assistant teacher randomly went up to Lydia Grace and she gave her a big hug. And she's like, are you just so excited to be a sister one day? And Lydia Grace looked at her square in the eyes and said, I'm already a big sister and I have a brother named Landon. Wait. And we said, now what? She already knew the boy name and girl name.
Okay.
And so I was just listening to her and I said, oh. Okay,
well, let me know something we don't know.
Let me take yes. note.
Come on.
Hold March 9th, the next day at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I get a call from the adoption Stop. Agency that we have a little boy.
Stop. Wow.
And he was not born yet, but his birth mother had come to the adoption agency, had chosen adoption, wow. and had chosen Austin and I to be his parents. And Landon was born on March 18th. We were able to be at the hospital for his birth.
That's incredible.
And so we waited in our own room. Mm-hmm. And then after he was born and had been taken care of for a couple of hours, mm-hmm. they brought him into our room. Now, this was a little bit different because with Lydia Grace, we just walked into the nurse's mm-hmm. station and there she was. And so with Landon, we're just sitting for yeah. hours yeah. waiting, not knowing. And of course, you don't know what your child's going to look like. Mm-hmm. You don't know their personality. You don't know anything. And the nurse wheeled him in, all ready for skin to skin. And there is our precious baby boy. And again, did we have to choose to love him? No. Mm. And it was immediate love.
Is y'all's adoption, I forgot the correct terms, but like, are they allowed? Yeah. Is it open where you are connected mm-hmm. with the birth mother?
Well, interestingly, they are both closed adoptions. The birth mother chooses mm-hmm. the openness that she would like. And as adoptive parents, you notate what you're okay with. Mm-hmm. So some parents are great with open adoptions. We were open to semi-open where we would have some contact, mm-hmm. send pictures and things like that. But both of our children's birth mothers chose closed adoptions, mm-hmm. Which is very rare. Mm. So we don't have any contact. We don't know who they are, but our children do know their stories. And in fact, something that we do every birthday and Mother's Day right now, and it'll grow as the children, as Lydia Grace and Landon understand more mm-hmm. of their story, but we spend time praying for their birth mom. Mm. And so yesterday, Lydia Grace and I were homeschooling, and part of our morning Bible time, we spent time praying for her birth mom and just thanking the Lord mm-hmm. for the sacrifice that she made, mm-hmm. praying for her salvation. And again, like Lydia Grace gets a little bit like, mm-hmm. I don't know what that is, you know, but I just think it's so important. We want our children to grow up knowing that mm-hmm. these women were strong and they were courageous mm-hmm. to make a choice to give them life.
Yes.
And so we want them to love these mm-hmm. girls and to appreciate mm-hmm. their story. And so
I know we're almost out of time, but it's on my heart to ask you to pray for any potential future moms that are listening that God might call them to adoption. And they're wondering, am I going to be able to do what Emily did and love them immediately? And like, am I going to have any doubts in my mind? Or maybe they're afraid of that connection. Would you mind just taking a brief prayer for anyone listening?
Absolutely. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just come before you and we praise you, for you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you have ordained our days. You have directed our steps and you have a plan and purpose for each of us. And so, Lord, I do lift up any woman who is listening and to this podcast right now who who is going through this similar journey and who has doubts or fears. Lord, mm-hmm. I pray that you, not being the God of doubt and fear, Lord, that you would bind Satan from their hearts, Lord, and that they would see you fully, that they mm-hmm. would be able to surrender the deepest desires mm-hmm. of their hearts so mm-hmm. that they can fully receive the blessings that you have mm-hmm. for them. Lord, we know that your ways are much higher than our own, mm-hmm. and although it's hard to understand that at times in the deepest of suffering and walking through these difficult journeys, but I pray that you would meet these women where they are, that you would reveal yourself to them through your word, that you bring them peace, mm-hmm. and Lord, that you would do a mighty work that only points to you and brings mm-hmm. you the glory, because as your followers, that is our role, mm-hmm. to bring you glory mm-hmm. through what you walk us through. Mm-hmm. So Lord, I pray that you would put your hand mm-hmm. on any woman who is going through this, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to her mm-hmm. and that you would make known your ways and your plans for her life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The clock, man, every time.
That was powerful.
Yes. Thank you so much for sharing your story. We will have you back again because this is just the tip of the iceberg of God weaving a beautiful story together in the Brooks family. Hey, thank you guys for listening to American Family Radio, Hannah's Heart. Join us again next time.